So far, just to give you a brief preview of what we did, we studied about the purpose of the church, and we studied about the foundation of the church growth, the four parts of the Great Commission, the aims that God has allowed the church to be here, and then we learned about the four axioms of church growth. From there, we went into the church growth sicknesses that are prevalent in the U.S., and we studied about eight different church growth diseases that the church is having, and we tried to understand what is the sickness in our church. I think we, for those who came into that class, we understood very clearly what was the problems concerning our own church and how we can improve. Last week we studied into the first century church and how they grew and how they multiplied, and we studied about the ways how churches grow. I'm not going into any details because today's study is actually a pretty long one, but I will be brief and we will go into the practical aspects of church growth. As we are studying church growth, let's go into the first slide and let's start from the beginning. About church growth, there are the first five steps of planning for church growth, and if you understand, if we are going to sit together and plan that our church should grow and not be the same, namukku angane oru aagram, at least if we have a desire that our church should grow, which I see most of us don't care. That's the truth, the present truth that we don't care. We don't care if our church grows. We don't care if new people are not coming. We don't care. All we are caring about, we come and we worship and we go home. That's all. But if we are at all having a desire about our church to grow, we will get together, and these are the five steps that normally we take to plan concerning our church growth. And I want to take you through the steps very quickly. This study is actually meant for a longer period, but I have cut it short because of the fact that there is very less of people who are coming, so I don't want to kind of torture everybody too much. We don't want people to go through the hell pains now itself, so we will wait for when it comes. So there are five steps of church growth. First one is taking inventory. This is typical in anything that you are building, and that also includes the church. Now you may say that, why do we need this? Will not God grow the church? I mean, God is in control, the Holy Spirit is there. Will not the Holy Spirit take over and bring people? No, we have to really desire and plan, and that is what we have to do. So five steps in planning. One is taking inventory. Number two, formulating a vision. And vision is the key in any achievement. In any church growth, as we have seen, it starts with a vision. Darshanam illada oru sabha valarathilla. The vision has to be from the leadership. It has to be translated to the members of the church. But without a vision, a church cannot grow. So how do we formulate a vision? The third is, once you formulate the vision, you go into setting goals and priorities. How you are going to implement the vision, what you plan. And then you develop the strategies, and finally you evaluate the results. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Let me go to the first one about taking inventory. What is meant by taking inventory? You know that any organization, they take inventory about what is the capital goods, what is the stock, what do they have, the funds in the bank, what is the assets. They take an inventory to find if any company is doing a profit or it's a loss. So before even we go into the vision of a church growth, we have to take an inventory about ourselves and understand what do we have, or as a person individually you have to think about, what do you have? You know, God doesn't expect us to be a Billy Graham overnight. We cannot be a Billy Graham. There is only one Billy Graham, or there is only one Paul the apostle. We are individuals. We have our own talents. Namakku ellarkkum devam oru oru thalanthukal thannittunde. We have to understand what our talents are. Now when we take an inventory, it is either subjective or objective. There are two kinds. From the subjective is basically that what comes from within. It's more, our feeling. When you look at ourselves, I feel that I can do great things. That is the one side of it. And that is normally many of the Pentecostal people think. You know, we can have a church with 10,000 people. You know, we think that is a subjective inventory. Let's go to the next slide. But there is something called an objective inventory also, where more like the evangelical people who do not totally think that the Holy Spirit is really going to work. They are all about planning. They are all about doing everything, minute details. But what I'm saying is, we should not be in the either side of the spectrum. Nammal rendu side lum povel. Because if you are only relying and thinking that the God is going to do everything, we cannot do it. The other side, if we think that we have to do everything, that is also not good. We have to be in the middle line somewhere, between taking inventory on the subjective and the objective side, which is in the middle side, which is, so if you are too subjective, they say that you will blow up, because there is nothing, no foundation in that. If you are too objective, you will dry up, because the Holy Spirit is not really there, and you are not taking the help of the Holy Spirit. But if you have the right balance between a subjective and an objective, you grow up in the Lord. Okay, next slide. I'm going to go very quickly about why we should take an inventory. God has given us a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it says that not only that you have, whatever you have, God has also given you the spirit of a sound mind. Can you just read someone, please? The spirit of a sound mind. That is what God has given to everybody. All the members. Yeah. Subodhathinte aalmav, it is the spirit of a sound mind. So you have to balance between a sound mind and also the leading of the spirit. Romans 8:5 says that we have to be led by the spirit. So we have to balance between the two as we go from there. There is a starting point. You should start. When we start about something, we start from wherever we are. What point we are right now. We cannot start with something different. Wherever we are in a particular situation. Now, the first question that you should ask yourself is, each one of you, what do I have? That is something that you can only ask yourself. There is four things that we have. What we have been given by our birth. Nammal jananale, namakku ulla sila talents undu. Number two, by our training, whatever we have been trained. Number three, by the grace of God. And number four, by our experience. These are the four things that we have. Just let's look to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Are you going to watch it? Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. Yeah. Okay. And are in the first part of it also? Okay, so we have come into the house of God or into the family of God by a birth. So there is something within us. God has given us some kind of a talents. These four things should be there: by birth, by training, by God's grace, and by experience. So we have to evaluate and see what we are and what we have. Okay, let's go to the next slide. What do we have by birth? Namakendwa, Jananali Kritikana Chala Kari Mada. We have to think about ourselves. When we look at Timothy's life, when Paul is writing to Timothy, Randa Timothy was only in the Angela, when Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, you have received something from your ancestors. And the video Timothy was in her. Or a Vishwasakriti. She has got a genuine faith from his mother and from his grandmother. So Timothy got something, what the Apostle Paul says, he got a genuine faith. Some of us have musical abilities. Some of us have got artistic talents. Some have leadership gifts. Some have the gift of speaking, the oratory gifts. So this is what we have. This is our inherent talents. Number two, the aptitudes that we have. What is aptitude? You should ask the question, what am I good at? What am I good at doing? That is what we should ask them, and we should list them. You know, if we have to start, we have to list them that. Number three, your temperament. Okay, even if you are good at something, but if you do not enjoy doing it, there is no good. So you should ask yourself, do I enjoy doing what I am good at? And that is what you should list them. And fourthly, am I good at figuring how to do it? That is the part of it. And we know that God has given us an intelligence, and we already, can you look to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7? 2 Timothy 1 in the 7 in the Bible, please. God has already given us the spirit of and a sound mind. This is what I have. 2 Corinthians 3:14-16. Just go through the verses as I'm saying. I'm going to be very, very brief and very fast. So please come along with me. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3:14-16. Let me make it, please. கிறிஸ்துவில் அது நீங்கி போகும். This word, if you understand, it is very clear that the it speaks about a veil that was taken away when Christ comes, when somebody turns to the Lord. தேவன் நம்ம கிறிஸ்துவே சொந்த ரட்சிதாவாய் சுயிருக்கும் நம்ம அகத்துள்ள அந்தகாரம் தேவம் எடுத்து மாற்றி கழியும். And God gives us an intelligence to think about, you know, what we should do. So that is the intelligence part of it. So these are the things that we have inherited in our lives. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Number two, as I said, first is by birth. நமக்கு ஜனனாலே கிட்டிய சில டேலண்ட்ஸ். Number two, the training. As you grow up as a young person, you are trained, you know, in these three aspects. ஒன்னாவது நம்ம குடும்பத்துல நமக்கு ஒரு ட்ரைனிங் கிட்டுனாங்க. Number two, we get trained in the church. And number three, we get trained in schools. So this training that we have received, we understand what kind of training have we received. And this is necessary to fulfill the will of God. Can you take Luke chapter 12 verse 47? லூக்கோஸின் சுவிசேஷம் 12 அத்தியாயம் 47 வாக்கியம். When I tell the verses, please turn around, turn and look, because they are, you know, they are all good verses that you can also think about. Luke chapter 12 and verse 47. Okay.
எதா வசனம் கேட்டுக்கோங்க. லோகத்தை விட்டுவரல்ல, லோகத்தை ரட்சிக்கிறவர் ஜென்மத்தில்.
அது அந்த வாக்கியம் 47 வாக்கியம் அந்த வாச்சே. യജമാനന്റെ ഇഷ്ടം അറിഞ്ഞിട്ട് ഒരുങ്ങാതെ അവന്റെ ഇഷ്ടം ചെയ്യാതിരിക്കുന്ന വളരെ അടി കിട്ടും.
നമ്മുടെ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ഹിതം എന്താണെന്ന് അറിഞ്ഞിട്ട്,
if you are not doing, this speaks about a parable of, but it is relating to us, and it is saying that the servant who knew about his master's will, devathinte hidam endo, we have been discussing the last week, his desire is that everyone should be saved. Logathe ellarum rakshikapadano na devathinte hidam, that is the will of God. അതുകൊണ്ട് ക്രിസ്തു പോലും വരാതിരിക്കുന്നത്, ബിക്കോസ് ആസ് ഇറ്റ് സേസ് രണ്ട് പത്രോസിൽ പറയുന്നത്, നമ്മൾ എല്ലാവരും മാനസാന്തരത്തിൽ വരണമെന്ന ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ആഗ്രഹം. അതാ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ഹിതം. And that is his will. But the servant who knows the master's will but does not prepare himself, എന്താ ഇവിടെ പ്രിപ്പയർ ചെയ്യാൻ പറയുന്നത്? നമ്മളെ തന്നെ പ്രിപ്പയർ ചെയ്യണം ടു ഡു ദ വിൽ ഓഫ് ദ മാസ്റ്റർ. And that is what we are talking about, the training here. Prepare himself or does not do his will. ഇവിടെ പറയുന്നത് they will be എത്ര അടി കിട്ടും? ഒത്തിരി അടി കിട്ടും. ഒന്ന് രണ്ടോ അല്ല, എണ്ണാതെ അടി കിട്ടും. You know, we have to think about it very soberly. Okay, this was the third, the second thing. So there is an influence of training in our life. The third is the grace of God. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കൃപ. നമുക്ക് ഒരു കാര്യം ഈ ലോകത്ത് ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കൃപ ഇല്ലാതെ നമുക്ക് ചെയ്യാൻ പറ്റത്തില്ല. ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് ഓൾ ദ ഗ്രേസ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ്. ദൈവം നമ്മുടെ പുറത്ത് കൃപ ചെയ്തിട്ടില്ലെങ്കിൽ, ഇഫ് ദ ഗ്രേസ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ഇസ് നോട്ട് ദെയർ, വി കാനോട്ട് ഡു എനിതിങ്. സോ ദെയർ ഇസ് എ തേർഡ് തിങ് ദാറ്റ് വി ഹാവ് ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ്, ദെയർ ഇസ് എ ഗ്രേസ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ഇൻ അവർ ലൈഫ്. 2 കൊരിന്ത്യർ 12 9 വാക്യം നമ്മൾ വായിക്കുന്ന അപ്പോസ്റ്റൽ പോൾ സ്പീക്കിംഗ് ഇൻ ഹിസ് ഓൺ റിലേഷൻ, നമുക്കൊന്ന് വായിക്കാം ആ വാക്യം. വായിക്കാം 2 കൊരിന്ത്യർ 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse number 9. Yeah. Okay. But in the end of Kruba, my grace is sufficient for you. They were, there was a point in Paul's life that he had a thorn in his flesh. And he asked, pleaded to God, Lord, remove this thorn. But God says, end of Kruba, my grace is sufficient for you. 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse number 10 says like this. 1 Corinthians 15 10th vakyam. It says endava but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I but the grace of God which was in me. Apostle Paul is speaking about himself, and he himself is confessing that jnan agunathu. What does it says? Come on, tell me, what does it says? What does it says? I am what I am only by the grace of God. Jnan agunathu only devinte krupa kondu mathrame. There is nothing else that. So this is called a divine enablement. Devam namakku oru swargiya vidathil nammale enable cheyva to do the work of God, and that is the third thing, the grace of God. Okay, let's go to the next one. And fourth is experience. Namukku experience uthri paadunga. It is a lot of learning lessons for us, because if there is no experience, we invite tragedy in our lives. ദൈവം നമ്മുടെ ജീവിതത്തിൽ ഓരോരോ സംഭവങ്ങൾ തരുന്നത് നമ്മളെ പഠിപ്പിക്കാൻ വേണ്ടി, ടു ട്രെയിൻ അസ് ടു മേക്ക് അസ് ഗോ ഇൻ ദ റൈറ്റ് വേ ആൻഡ് ടു ടീച്ച് അസ് സോ ദാറ്റ് വി വിൽ ബി എ ബ്ലെസിംഗ് ടു അദർ പീപ്പിൾ. നമുക്ക് ഇവിടെ ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ഫസ്റ്റ് കിങ്സ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 20 ആൻഡ് വേഴ്സ് നമ്പർ 11 നമുക്ക് നോക്കാം. ഒന്ന് രാജാക്ക് 20:11 ആരെങ്കിലും ഒന്ന് വായിച്ചേ. സംബഡി ഫ്രം ദ ഗേൾസ് സൈഡ് റീഡ് മീ, റീഡ് ലൗഡ്ലി പ്ലീസ്. ഫസ്റ്റ് കിങ്സ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 20. Okay, now I want you to pay attention to this word. I don't know how many of you have thought about this particular one. Malayalathil onnu orke vaicha arengil onnu orke. First Kings chapter 20 verse number 11.
Adhil Israel raja avar vaal arike kittunavar vidun aichale thane pole appo parayunnathu.
Idil endo, what does it mean? Let not the one who is putting on his garment on his armor boast like the one who is taking it off. Is there a difference here? One question. This is a Bible class, I want to ask you. What is the difference between somebody who is putting on the armor and somebody who is taking it off? Is there a difference, sir? Come on, let me see how much you can think about it. What is the difference between the two people? One side somebody is putting on an armor, the other side is taking it off. What is the difference? Bobby?
What is it?
The armor on is going to win. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Maybe you're all correct, but that's not the answer I'm looking for. The difference between the one who is putting on the armor and the one who is taking it off, there is an experience. Nammaloru armor edumbo, it is to go to a battle. That is before you go to fight a battle. And the one who is taking off the armor is after the battle is over. Yuddham kanditta nammada armor eduthu maatunga. If what the king said,
aa vakyam parnade meaning endanu ariyamo,
let not the one who is putting on the armor boast like the one who is taking it off. The one who is taking it off has an experience to tell. But if you don't have that experience, you are just putting on the armor, don't boast like the person who is taking it off. This all goes to show the experience that we need to do the work of God. Devathinte hidan cheyanengil namukku God will lead us to certain experience. Let us not boast. Nammal chellarkke onnu cheyada thodakkumbo nane I can do this, I can do that. Don't boast here, because we have to go into the battlefield. And that is a different experience. You cannot boast without the experience. So that is what that word means there. Now when you understand about David's battle with Goliath, you all know the story. I don't want you to read the portion. It's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 34 to 40. You know what? David trusted in his experience. David knew or experience on them, and he trusted in that. Saul wanted to lend him his armor. He said, no, I have not proved it. On the armor, I cannot put it on. So what did David trust? He trusted in God, but what did he take with him to fight? What did he take? His slingshot and the stones, right? Why? Because in his previous life, in his earlier experience, you know what? He had fought with a lion and a bear.
ദാവീദിന് ഒരു എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് പറയാൻ with the strength of the Lord, and that is the experience that I have. So experience is a very big thing when you take up the inventory. Okay, next slide. Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, number 2 is formulating the vision. Now when we understand about formulating, I said that number 1 is taking inventory. Number 2 is that we are going to formulate the vision. എന്തുവാ ഈ വിഷൻ എന്ന് പറയുന്നത്? നമ്മൾ ഒത്തിരിയൊക്കെ ഈ വിഷനെ കുറിച്ച് വി സ്പീക്ക് അബൌട്ട്. വാട്ട് ഈസ് വിഷൻ? പ്രോവേർബ്സ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 29, നമ്മുടെ ഈ ഒരു വലിയ ഒരു ഫെമിലിയർ വേർഡ്സ് ആണ്. ഇറ്റ് സേസ് അബൌട്ട്, ഒന്ന് വായിച്ചാൽ പ്രോവേർബ്സ് 29:18. Yeah. Happy is he who keeps the law. ഇവിടെ the vision that is talking about is not the vision concerning the future of the church. It's a prophetic vision that they are talking about. We need to plan with a vision. We need to have a clearly defined vision. We need to know what is God's purpose. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ഹിതം എന്തുവാ നമ്മൾ മനസ്സിലാക്കണം. ഇൻ ഇൻ ദ ബൈബിൾ ദർ ആർ ഡിഫറെന്റ് പീപ്പിൾ ഹു ഹാഡ് വിഷൻ. അബ്രഹാമിന് ഇതെല്ലാം ഈ പാസേജസ് ഐ വോണ്ടഡ് ടു ഗോ ത്രൂ ഇറ്റ് വെരി സ്ലോലി, ബട്ട് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദ ലാക്ക് ഓഫ് ടൈം ഐ ആം നോട്ട് ഗോയിങ് ടു ഡു ദാറ്റ്. Abraham had vision about many different things. One of the vision was that it says in Hebrews chapter 11 verses 10 and 19 that he dwelt in tents in a strange place because he was looking forward to a city which God is going to build. The second in verse number 19 we see in Abraham's life that he, though he took Isaac for sacrifice, but the vision that Abraham had in his mind that even though God will allow him to kill his son, സ്വന്തം മകനെ കൊന്നാലും ആ ചാരത്തിനകത്തും ദൈവം ഒരു പുതിയ മകനെ സൃഷ്ടിക്കും. That was the vision that Abraham had. So he was a man with vision. You know about Joseph's vision. When he was a young boy, he saw visions and he shared that with his brothers and they became jealous with him. We know about Moses. ഈ ഒരു വാക്യം നമുക്ക് നോക്കാം. Moses had a vision too. Look in Acts chapter 7. Apostle Paul 7:25. Can somebody please read? This is the message of Stephen before he was martyred. He spoke about Moses. Moses had a vision and well. What was the vision of Moses? Look to that particular verse please. Acts chapter 7 verse 25. Yeah. Okay. He thought... ഒന്ന് വായിച്ച മലയാളത്തിൽ ഒന്ന് വായിക്കാമോ? He thought the brothers will understand that God is going to use him. Moshe got a darshanam undayirunnu that God is going to use him to deliver the people. But the others did not understand the vision of Moses. Adonda Moshe pedichu odandiye vannathu. So Moses had a vision. Even Paul, when he speaks to King Agrippa, Apostle Paul 26:19, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. These were all people with vision. And this is the true vision, is that it is from God. Devatalulla vishna. And that it will be tested. It has limits. It must be communicated. It has to be easily understood. And this is the vision that we need to have. നമ്മൾ മത്തായി സുവിശേഷം 2 നമ്മൾ ഒരു ഒരു കഥയായി നമ്മൾ വായിച്ചു പോകുന്നുണ്ട്. പക്ഷെ ചില 3 വിദ്വാൻമാരെ കുറിച്ച് വായിക്കുന്നുണ്ട്. വിഷൻ വൺ ഡേ ദേ സോ എ സ്റ്റാർ, ദേ സോ ദ സ്റ്റാർ ഓഫ് ദ കിംഗ് ഓഫ് ദ ജൂസ്. ദൂരെ കണ്ടിട്ട് ദേ ഹാഡ് എ വിഷൻ അബൌട്ട് ദ കിംഗ് ഓഫ് ദ ജൂസ്. യഹൂദന്മാരുടെ രാജാവ് എവിടാന്ന് ചോദിച്ചുകൊണ്ടാണ് വരുന്നത്. ബിക്കോസ് ദേ സോ ദ സ്റ്റാർ ഇൻ ദ ഈസ്റ്റ്. സോ വി കനോട്ട് സ്റ്റാർട്ട് എനിതിങ് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദ വിഷൻ. ദ ഫോർമുലേറ്റിംഗ് എ വിഷൻ ഈസ് വെരി വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് ഫോർ അസ്. ഓക്കെ, ലെറ്റ്സ് ഗോ ടു ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് സ്ലൈഡ്.
Once you formulate the vision, the next slide is that you set up goals. What is the purpose of goals? The goals, once, so for example, when you come to our church, we need to have a vision concerning our church. You know, let me tell you how it is. If you start on a journey, there is a destination. There is a vision. What? ഒരു ഡെസ്റ്റിനേഷൻ ഉണ്ട്. നമ്മൾ അങ്ങനെ ഒരു വിഷൻ ഇല്ലാതെ ഉള്ള ഒരു ജേർണി തുടങ്ങിയാൽ കാറ്റ് വരുമ്പോൾ അങ്ങോട്ട് പോവും, കടലിന്റെ ഒരു ഒരു ഇത് വരുമ്പോൾ ഇങ്ങോട്ട് പോവും. നമ്മൾ പിന്നെ എന്നും പോകുന്നുണ്ട്, എല്ലാം ചെയ്യുന്നുണ്ട്, പക്ഷേ ദേർ ഈസ് നോ ഡിഫൈൻഡ് ക്ലിയർ വിഷൻ അബൌട്ട് വേർ വി ആർ ഹെഡഡ്. നമ്മൾ എവിടോട്ടാണ് നമ്മൾ പോകുന്നത്? വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദ ഫാക്ട് കൺസേണിങ് അവർ ലൈഫ്? നമ്മുടെ ജീവിതത്തെ കുറിച്ച് നമുക്കൊരു വിഷൻ വേണം. What is it that, what is my purpose? And said, ഒരു 60-70-80 വയസ്സ്, is it all that is a part of our life? അല്ല, there is a plan. We need to understand the vision of God. And we need to ask God to help us to fulfill the vision. To fulfill the vision, we need to set up goals. നമുക്ക് എപ്പോഴും goals വേണം. Without goals, you cannot ask a young person. If you want to be a doctor or if you want to do something great, you have to have a vision first that, okay, I'm going to become a doctor or an engineer or a rocket scientist or an astronomer or whatever. And then you set up some goals that, okay, in order to do that, I cannot totally reach there. I have to set up some goals for myself. And that is what is the purpose of goals, that they are called faith forecasters. They are called faith forecasters. Mark chapter 9. It speaks about setting up goals. Let's see. Mark chapter 9. Marcos. Everybody, please, if you have a Bible, please open and check it out. We will go very fast. I'm going to stop within the correct time. I'm not going to extend. So don't worry. But we are going to learn something, because today is the last class of the church growth. And let us use the time. Anyway, we have come here. So let us use it. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 23. What does it say? If you can believe, he said, all things are possible to him that believes. We can take this verse in different factors, but let me tell you that this is an act of faith. When we set up goals, if we believe that God is going to help me to do what I am planning to, Devam Namal Sadhikya. We all should have a purpose in our life, each one of you, especially, let me tell about the young people. Don't let your life drift away like a boat without an anchor and without a direction. Have a purpose in your personal life and set up certain goals in order to do the vision, because goals will define your action, which will result in specific achievements. So we need to set up some goals for our lives. Okay, next slide. The five qualities of a goal. When you set up a goal, there are five qualities. Number one, it is tangible. It is not abstract. We book a goal. Don't make it like, okay, my goal is that, you know, whole of Lawrenceville should hear the word of God. That's not an abstract goal. Make it tangible goal. The people in my subdivision should, I should reach them by the end of the year. That should be our goal in our life. So it should be not abstract. It should be tangible. Number two, it should not be something fuzzy. It should be defined, very clear, communicable goal. Number three, this is very important. It should be achievable. Don't like start dreaming about it. Don't think that, okay, this next 4 months, I'm going to, you know, reach the whole of Logan, you know, if Benji decides to do that, or I'm going to reach about 150 people. It's not possible. Just do something that is measurable, quantitative, and then it should be definitive what action you are going to take to implement that goal. Okay, next slide. The goal should be defined, because God will do great things. Devan nammala chindikkunnathum nammal manasilakkunnathekkalum valare adhigamayittu devan nammale sahayikkum. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says that, you know, more than we ask or think, he will do greater things for us. Devan nammalukku vellu seiyum. So if you define and put it in the hand of God, God is going to do greater things in our lives. But when we set up goals, we have to set up some priorities. Moonu vidathilulla priorities we can have put in our goals. One is a high priority, number two is a maintenance, and the third is the deferred goals. The things that are most important should be the high priority. And that is what you should concentrate on. You should prioritize time, you should prioritize your money, and you should prioritize the talents and the people that we have. Philippians chapter 3, no come. Philippians chapter 3. Our apostle Paul says about a statement that is very relevant to this. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Endo vaikina avada 3-ന്റെ 13.
Illa.
Adu mari. Thank you. Onnu njan cheyidu. Apostle Paul, I believe he was one of the greatest evangelists or missionaries the world has ever known. Pashe apostle Paulos in the jeevithil, he was concentrating on the top priority in his life. One thing, you know, that was a high priority item for him. One thing, yan onnu njan cheyidu. Yan uthriyam cheyidu. Let us, when we define goals, let us prioritize it. Nammada sabha, when it concerns our church, and we are thinking about, you know, church growth, when we set up some goals, we have to reach some nominal Christians, some Hindus, Muslims. Nammada, when we set up goals, we need to set up some goals that are achievable. And then we need to concentrate on doing that. Not 100 things, because you cannot do 100 things and get away. You have to prioritize and do a category and just understand that and just focus on that one thing. And that is how you achieve it. Once you achieve it, for example, I'll give you a good example.
We are talking about church growth and evangelism, right?
Let us say you have a goal to reach three of your friends, your best friends, you know, your closest chums, you know, the people with whom you talk. And focus on that within a time. Once you do that, once you reach them with the gospel, then you set up another goal. So these goals have to be achieved, and you have to set up new goals and go forward. And that is what it says, that we have to prioritize the goals. Okay, next slide please. Next slide. Okay, go ahead. There is a diagram that I had that is not coming up for some reason, but that's fine. Let us, the third thing is, once you do that, we should plan for each goal. Our number of plans here, is it biblical? Let me ask the question. Planning the biblical now. Pentecost are plan change the diagram. Sister only. How many plan change the diagram? Plan is in your You know, that is the mentality of people. But let me turn your attention to God. God planned the salvation of humankind. Eppra devathin plan cheyanalo. When did God plan? Devathu eppra plan cheyadu. Before he even made the world. Srishtikkunna loka srishtikkunna munpe thanne devathinte manasinagathu plan cheyda karyama. Endova? Manushinte rakshana, the salvation of man. He planned it. Achieve the plan. Namakuru plan illengil onnu nadakkathilla. We need to plan about it, and we need to plan before that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10 speaks about building. Nammalu sabai thodu oru kettidam, it's a building, you know. Before a building is built, you know, how does a building come up? Oru building enna vendu aadiyam architect-inte manasinagathu oru plan vendu. There is a plan that comes in the mind of an architect. And he draws the structure according to that. Our plan, when he implements it, he puts a building there. Right? Am I right or am I wrong? How did this church come about? There was an agency that had a plan, or the pastor had a plan that this is what the church is going to be. So this, just like a building, because of a church is a building. We are a building of God. Devathinte oru കെട്ടിടമാണ്. When you are thinking about the building, we should plan. പക്ഷെ നമ്മൾ മാത്രമല്ല, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ സഹായം കൊണ്ട് നമ്മൾ പ്ലാൻ ചെയ്യുന്നു. God's help through prayer and meditation of the word of God. And then what happens? We are then working with God's vision, with God's goals, and with God's plan. അങ്ങനെ Number two, how are we going to do it? Once you define the goals, the next one is the action steps. How are we going to implement the plan? Number three is when are we going to do it? Responsibility to do the work. And number fifth is, how much it's going to cost? Without cost, without budgeting, how can you do a plan? Jesus takes an example as a parable. In Luke, he says, ஒரு ராஜா ஒரு யுத்தத்தின் போவாங்க தன்னை எதிராக வெளில, you know, how many he will think first and whether it is wise for him to go with that many number of people. We have to think about all that. What is it going to cost? And we have to budget it accordingly. And we have to really work it out. And that is how we go forward. Okay, let's go quickly. Implementing the goals. Now, when we start implementing the work of God, that is the hard part. Sit together, really plan it here, very easy. But when it starts to implement it, that is the hard part. Hard part of it. ஒரு கம்பேரபிள் வேர்ஸ் ரெவலேஷன் சாப்டர் 10 வெளிப்பாடு புத்தகம் 10 அத்தியாயத்தில் லெட்ஸ் கோ டு தட் வேர்ஸ் ஜஸ்ட் ஸ்பீக்ஸ் அபவுட் ஹவு இட் இஸ் கன்சர்னிங் இம்ப்ளிமெண்டிங் அ பிளான் ரெவலேஷன் சாப்டர் 10 வேர்சஸ் 9 அண்ட் 10 ஒன்று வாய்ச்சா அதுங்களுக்கு மலையாளத்தில் வந்து வாய்ச்சா ப்ளீஸ்
change our plan to do something else to affect other people.
So it is all by the feedback. So feedback keeps us a balance. Okay, next one please. The fifth one is evaluating the results. Once we get the results from the outside, you know, it shows if our goals are achieved. It shows us if the efforts were justified. And it avoids wasting our resources, time and money and talent. And we can channel our resources to do the work of God. Management, management type of thinking, but this has to always be under the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because God is building the church. Jesus is going to build the church, and He doesn't want to use the angels, He wants to use each one of us to build His church. His desire is that everybody should come to know the Lord. ഭൂമിയിലുള്ള എല്ലാവരും ദൈവത്തെ അറിഞ്ഞ് കർത്താവ് യേശു ക്രിസ്തുവിനെ തന്റെ സ്വന്തം രക്ഷിതാവായിട്ട് സ്വീകരിക്കണമെന്ന ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ഹിതം. This is the will of God. And we need to go side by side and do the work of God. Okay, I'm going to conclude this now here. Let's go to the next slide. I'm just going to conclude this with five qualities of a church growth believer. This is going to be very short, but I will tell you five qualities of a church growth believer. Who is a church growth believer? Somebody who wants the church to grow. Somebody who wants to do the work of God. Five qualities. Number one is a single-minded obedience. Nammal poorna ansaranam undayikkanam nammude agathu. We have to take the Lordship of Jesus Christ very seriously. And you are willing to pay the price for doing what is necessary to obey the Great Commission. Ah, Great Commission entho kartava yeshu paanja aadhi endo parnathu, go, you go, don't sit there, don't wait for people to come to you, you go. We have to obey. Namaku avaru anusaranathinte manobhavam namaku kaanam. If we don't have the mentality of obedience, we are not really desiring the kingdom of God to be built. And third thing, we are also fully aware that one day our faithfulness is going to be evaluated. Namal oru divasam kartavinte simhasathinte munpil nikkumbol God is going to evaluate us. I gave you these opportunities, I gave you this time, I gave you these talents, I gave you these resources. What have you done for us? Adu eppozhum nammude manasinagathu kaanam. മത്തായി സുവിശേഷം നോക്കി ആ വാക്യം വായിച്ചു. മത്തായി സുവിശേഷം 25:21 വാക്യം വായിച്ചു. ക്രിസ്തു പറഞ്ഞ ഉപമയില് അവിടെന്താ പറയുക, നല്ലവനും വിശ്വസ്തനുമായ ദാസനെ. ദൈവം നമ്മളെ കുറിച്ച് ആഗ്രഹിക്കുന്ന വിശ്വസ്തയാണ്. How many times you led the praise and worship in Allah, or how many songs you sang for me in Allah? What have you done for me, my child? Nee vishwasatha palichittundo? With what I gave you, were you faithful with whatever you had? Your talents, your time, your money, were you faithful in using it for the glory of God? So the first thing is a single-minded obedience. Okay, next slide. Second one is that you have clearly defined objectives. That is the sign of a church growth believer. We should have a plan in our life. Not the objective one. Our objective is not just come, worship, pray and go back. We should have an objective to reach people for Christ. We all need to have vision. Namukku ellarkkum oru darshanam vena. Concerning ourselves, nammude jeevithathe kurichu. What is the vision regarding my life? നമ്മൾ ജസ്റ്റ് പോവാ, ജോലി ചെയ്യുക, തിരിച്ചു വരിക, കഴിക്കുക, കുടിക്കുക, ഉറങ്ങുക, ചർച്ച പോവുക, തിരിച്ചു വരിക. ഈസ് ആൻഡ് ഓൾ വി നീഡ് ദേർ ഈസ് സർട്ടൻ പർപ്പസ് ദാറ്റ് ഗോഡ് ഹാസ് ഇൻ അവർ ലൈഫ്. വി നീഡ് ടു തിങ്ക് അബൌട്ട് എ വിഷൻ. ആൻഡ് വൺസ് വി ഹാവ് എ വിഷൻ, വി ഷുഡ് സെറ്റ് ഗോൾസ് ടു അച്ചീവ് ഒബ്ജക്റ്റീവ്സ് ആൻഡ് എവാലുവേറ്റ് അവർ ഓൺ സക്സസ് ഓഫ് ഫെയിലിയർ. വേർ ആർ വി, വി ഡോണ്ട് ഹാവ് ടു എവാലുവേറ്റ് ബൈ അവർ സെൽവ്സ്. ബിക്കോസ് ക്രൈസ്റ്റ് ഈസ് ഓൺലി ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റഡ് ഇൻ മേക്കിംഗ് ഡിസൈപ്പിൾസ്. Jesus said, you follow me, right? And I will make you. And what is that verse that I want you to say? Follow me and what? I will make you evangelism, discipleship, growth. I will make you fishers of men. You stop catching your fish. God will provide you fishers whenever you want. Your material benefits will come. Don't worry. Don't run after. കുറിച്ച് ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ഹിതം. ഗോഡ് വാണ്ട്സ് അസ് ടു മേക്ക് ഡിസൈപ്പിൾസ്. ഞാൻ ആദ്യം തന്നെ യു റിമെമ്പർ വാട്ട് വി ടോൾഡ് റിഗാർഡിംഗ് ദി ചർച്ച്, വി ഹാവ് ടു മേക്ക് ഡിസൈപ്പിൾസ് and they will go and reach other people and they will come to the church. That is what God desires from a church.
Okay, the third one, let's go forward. The third one is that we rely on some established practices. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, it says.
Like this, for example, this study that I took, you know, it tells us, how do we do it? Let us take that and use that practice. Learn from the first century church. Last time, we learned in the first century church, I'm not going to go there, okay? But we understood what was it that they did. അത് പഠിച്ചിട്ട് മനസ്സിലാക്കി നമ്മൾ നമ്മുടെ നമ്മുടെ പ്രായോഗിക ജീവിതത്തിൽ നമ്മളത് ഇംപ്ലിമെന്റ് ചെയ്യണം. ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് വി നീഡ് ടു ഡു. വി ഹാവ് ടു റിലൈ ഓൺ ദി എസ്റ്റാബ്ലിഷ്ഡ് ചർച്ച് ഗ്രോത്ത് പ്രാക്ടീസസ്. ആൻഡ് നമ്പർ 4 ഈസ് വി നീഡ് ടു ബി ഓണസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ എവാലുവേറ്റിംഗ് റിസൾട്ട്സ്. ചുമ്മാ കണ്ണടച്ചിട്ട് ഓ ദിസ് മെനി പീപ്പിൾ വർ ദേർ എന്ന് പറയാൻ, വി ഹാവ് ടു ബി വെരി ഓണസ്റ്റ് ആൻഡ് എവാലുവേറ്റ്. സീ, ഞാൻ ഇന്ന് ചെയ്തത്, ഇഫ് വാട്ട് ഐ ഹാവ് ഡൺ ടുഡേ, അല്ലെങ്കിൽ ഈ വർഷം ഞാൻ ഇപ്പം എത്ര മാസമായി, ഹൗ മെനി മന്ത്സ് ഹാവ് പാസ്ഡ് ദിസ് ഇയർ, 7 months. ഈ 7 months കൊണ്ട് വാട്ട് ഹാവ് ഐ ഡൺ ഫോർ ഗോഡ്. ഒരു നിമിഷം നമ്മൾ തന്നെ വേറെ ആരുടെ അടുത്തും വേണ്ട, നമ്മൾ തന്നെ സൈലന്റ് ആയിട്ട് ഒന്ന് ചിന്തിച്ചിട്ട് വി ഹാവ് ടു എവാലുവേറ്റ് ഔവർസെൽവ്സ് ആൻഡ് സീ വേർ ആർ വി, ആർ വി ഹെഡിങ് ഇൻ ദ റൈറ്റ് ഡയറക്ഷൻ, ആർ വി സ്ട്രൈവിംഗ് ടു അച്ചീവ് ദ റിസൾട്ട്സ്. നോക്കാം, ഒരു വാക്യം നോക്കാം, ഫിലിപ്പിയൻസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 3. Let's all turn to that portion. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to close in 5 minutes now. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 12 to 14. Yeah. Unka vaakyam vaikkan. Kitti vaakyam. Anybody got in Malayalam? Philippians chapter 3. Lebichu kainyu nanno. Alla. It is a strive. We are striving to go forward. This should be our mentality. നമ്മൾ ഒന്നും ലഭിച്ചിട്ടില്ല. We have actually not done anything great for God. Really, if you are looking in our lives, നമ്മുടെ സ്വന്തം ജീവിതം നോക്കുകയാണെങ്കിൽ we have not done anything much for God. But our attitude should be as Apostle Paul says, ഒന്നും attain ചെയ്തതൊന്നല്ല. Not that I have already been perfected, but I am pressing on. That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid on me. Okay, 13th vaakyam. 13th.
ഒന്ന് ഞാൻ ചെയ്യുന്നു.
I press towards that goal. ഞാൻ പറഞ്ഞില്ലേ, നമുക്ക് എപ്പോഴും ഒരു ഗോൾ. There is an end of our journey. നമ്മൾ എല്ലാം ഒരു യാത്രയിലാ. There is a destination. We are all pressing towards that goal. Nammada eppozhum a focal point is towards that goal and upon our Lord Jesus. Kartavinte kannilottu nokki we have to press forward in that goal. And that is what we need to do. We need to be honest in evaluating the results. Okay. And the final one, the fifth one, we need to be optimistic. Chellare nammal ippozhum nammal oh nammada samayam ad nadakkathilla. Nammale konda nadakkathilla. We cannot do it. We cannot. Angane oru 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 mentality vacha you can never do it. Let me tell you, you will or if a young person, you go to an exam and say, oh, I'm not going to pass. Okay, let's say it in your mind, I'm not going to pass, let me write and give you. You will never pass that exam. You will never pass that exam if you think in your mind that you're not going to pass. You should always be optimistic and your heart will be full of faith. You should be convinced that it is not me, but Christ is building the church. We are the tools in the hand of God. നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കരത്തിൽ വെറും ആയുധങ്ങൾ മാത്രമാണ്. We are just the tools. Jesus said, I will build my church. ഇത് ക്രിസ്തുവിന്റെ സഭയ. This is the church of Jesus Christ. This is not our own building. This is not our thing. It is His church. We have to be convinced that Christ is building His church. And we should be excited that we are a part in building the body of Christ, that is the universal church. And we should rejoice, we should be happy when the church is growing and multiplying. And then what we should do? We should pray for souls. We need to pray for souls fruit and they can come to the Lord, and then we should expect God to give the increase. That is what we should do. Lastly, let us read this verse and we are going to close here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6. Yeah. God is someone. Let us understand finally. And the conclusion of the whole thing. Maybe the Lord will use somebody to plant the seed. Maybe the Lord will use somebody else to water the seed that it grows up. But ultimately it is God who gives the increase. God is the one who gives the increase. But we have to work side by side with God. We need to have a vision. We need to do the work of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to close this. This is the concluding portion of this. There was a lot more things. But I'm glad that at least, you know, we could come together like this and we could study something. I hope it was a beneficial in some manner. That is what my thinking is. I hope you take home with you something. And think it over. See if it is really true. If I am in a master or whatever, is it something just like that? No, Christ really wants to build his church. This is the last thing that Jesus said before he ascended, is go and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I am telling you, because I am coming very soon. Jesus is coming for his church. And we need to be our instruments to build this church. Let us close our eyes and for a moment just look at our own life, and we understand that, am I really helping in the growth of the church? Am I really doing the work of God? If not, let us just, I'm not telling anybody to stand up and say anything. Just think about it. Where are we today? Are we really doing the work of God? Are we really planning that God will really work great things in our lives? If not, I want us to just dedicate our hearts and say, Lord, this is your church. Make me an instrument to build the church. Use me, use my talents, use my experience, use what I have, what I have learned, that I will do all for the glory of God. I'm proud of you. I'm glad. That sounds fantastic. Please come and pray and conclude. And thank you all. I want to thank everybody who faithfully came and attended all this 1 month of Bible study, and may the Lord bless us.